So we find ourselves in Malchus Yavan.
Where are we up to? Because it's the first time I'm looking inside
the city. Page Yud Aleph in Yusuf.
Yud Aleph.
So here we are.
What were the first two again?
We talked about the different halakim of the Kaychus HaNefesh and how they relate to Nebuchadnezzar's dream. We discussed how the Kaychus HaSeichel, even though it's Elyon, you have all the Kalka and Neshama, it's the one that's on the highest level. But in regards to leadership capability, so in the Kayach Asikli doesn't lead. It doesn't have a Kayach Shlita. It's more the Kayach Benefesh. So this is at Babel, his ratio to the Hava. It's the golden head. After Baba comes Parsa Madai. Parsa Madai is the Kayak Maguf. It's the Kayak that loves to be satisfied. By Malchus Sha'achar, Avroi said, Daniel Kinamer. A Namer is a leopard. Yavon, Greece, is like a leopard. V'neki Malchus Zev Keneged Achilek Agimah Sheba'adam. Because Yavon is a parallel to the third kayach, which is the top, highest kayach in a person. There's a kayach in the soul that's responsible for intellectual thought. And this kingdom, that's the Malchus. It's more than just saying that the Greeks appreciated wisdom or they were particularly smart. The Malchus, meaning that the whole machinery of the monarchy of Yavan was all geared towards the appreciation of wisdom, acquiring wisdom, and the Malchus being built on wisdom. It was a Malchus of Chochmah. The system was a system which every single wheel or cog in the Malchus was attuned to making sure that wisdom is spread throughout the kingdom properly. That's what the Malchus stood for. He called even Malchus a kol, that's the whole union. They sought wisdom. The energy, the power of the Malchus was harnessed towards acquiring wisdom. What did they try and do? They tried to make sure that we don't have they acquire wisdom. That's what their Malchus is. So it's only natural that their Malchus should be dedicated towards ensuring that we don't have Torah. So it's a little bit warped.
What's more
stable,
Torah or wisdom?
That's right. It's a little bit warped. If you have your whole Malchus is to get more and more wisdom, so instead of focusing,
I'm not talking about in regards to them. I'm talking about in regards to how could they be seichel. Right. Torah or wisdom, or knowing?
Instead of focusing on being mevatel Torah from Israel, so they should be focused on acquiring Torah. That's what the Malchus is. The Malchus is to acquire. The Malchus is to air. The Malchus is to air to Chochmah. So how is eradicating Torah from Klal Yisrael, Chas v'Shalom? How is that adding Chochmah? They're not getting any wiser by knocking out the Torah. Kilayah writes him Shetiyah Chachma Befrat Sheyeser Chachma Veyeser Yerim Chachma Nushim Shoyel Ham. Kamoi Sheyah Torah Sheyah Chachma Alakol. Torah is not wisdom. It's not. wisdom, chachma, is a way of understanding everything in the physical world. It's menschliche chachma. It's important. But menschliche chachma, human wisdom, is only used for one purpose. It's trying to figure out how things work in this world. And there's no point to any, you know, there's no human chachma that's going to help us understand things that are outside of this world. Human chachma will tell us the secrets of the universe, the secrets of inner space, the secrets of outer space, what's beneath the sea. It'll tell us this tremendous chachma, but it stops there.
Why do they care at all about the Jews?
Right, well, the minute you start going into realms beyond Derech HaTeva, anything that transcends nature, anything that can't be explained with the laws of nature, you need a special chachma to understand it. You want to understand Makos Barad, you cannot understand it with chachma. Chachma will not explain that to anybody, because Makos Barad doesn't work with the laws of this world. Let's explain how the sun could stop across the sky, you know. Shemesh Megiva, and you're dying in the middle of fighting a war. Or, like, you don't know how the sun will set even quicker in the time of Yaakov Avinu. It'll slow down in the time of Yeshua. Time from nature, the laws of nature are suspended. Kriyas Yom Tov, all the nation, Mamash, we're holding now, we're in Parashas Peshalach. Meshach HaChachem is not up to the test. There is nothing in any Chachos Adam that's going to explain what that is. Does that mean we can't explain it? No, of course not. There's a way of understanding things that Elam Alam Yidach HaTorah. But that's not Chachma. That's Torah.
Isn't it just a greater Chachma? It's beyond...
It's not just a greater Chachma, because you're saying it's a greater Chachma. You're saying that it's the same thing as human logic. It's just deeper, more impressive. Torah is not that. Torah is... it's the chachma of understanding the impossible. That's not just a greater chachma.
So, most of the, while striving for chachma, wouldn't they try? So wouldn't they try to understand that as well?
They tried.
The
Yevanim.
They just couldn't.
The Yevanim.
Tap in.
They don't relate to anything that doesn't conform to their understanding of nature. They don't relate to it. I mean, you have to we must understand one thing. That the minute you're makir, that there is a logic above human logic, that's attainable by human beings only through Torah, because Torah is above human logic, so therefore Torah can help you understand events or concepts or realities above that, then you're automatically bringing the two worlds together. You know, in this world, you're going to be able to understand something that's beyond this world. So then, it's a testing to a reality that the world which is finite and the world which is on its own, functioning on its own, is connected to a world that there are no rules.
But the Greeks didn't believe in gods.
Yeah, they did.
And they weren't a chachma gods.
They were?
They're not really.
No, they were just kind of, they were like childish almost. They thought they did whatever they wanted.
Yeah, they're a bunch of babies.
What's funny about that?
It's not funny.
The Greeks believe in a pagan god. We're talking about paganism. That grew more out of wanting to be the one, the Greeks with their own wisdom, they were able to dictate what a deity is, what to deify. Their avodah zarah is their gods, for extensions of their own chachma. And their chachma, they use their chachma to dictate that based on their chachma, this is what you should do to this particular tzura, this particular form, this particular deity. So the real, there means the real, it's really, avodah zarah is really a form of self, it's really a form of self worship.
Was atheism not around in those days?
There was the Ivanim were the first ones to sow the seeds of atheism, because they created a system that the lower world is not dependent on a higher existence. The Greeks were not real avodah zarah, despite the fact you have all these Greek gods. You have all these Greek gods.
They weren't so fun.
They weren't. No, they had their own form of avodah zarah. The earlier Avodah Zarah, yes, the earlier Avodah Zarah were a lot firmer. Because they had one kernel of Emes. They had one thing that was carved of Emes, that you can't exist in this world without a higher power over you. So they had, yes, so they had the wrong power over them. But they shared something in common with those who saw the Emes, is that even though they had the wrong master over
but
them.
They made idols of them.
Yes. The idols was just a representation of something in Shemayim. The original idols, they made a picture of a sun and a picture of constellations. It was their way of showing, you know, of acknowledging the power of the heavenly bodies over them. So they made representations. They didn't believe that the stone idol had any independent power. There's a power that's above them. It's a power that's lamala midarach hateva. It's a power that defies nature. It's beyond nature. It's just they're going to choose the power. They're going to choose their own god. And the Ivanim, although they're also avodah zarah, they started this departure. And they put the accent on them being the masters of the world of Chochmah that you can see and understand. And anything that's above that was not part of the reality. I mean, the Sefer HaKuzri talks about what the belief system was. They weren't foolish enough to believe that the world created itself. That's one of the Yisaitis Amunah. Yisaitis of Chizuk Amunah is that you see the Mahalach HaIlam, that everything in this world, things are produced from other things. It means it's a world of Siba. Siba and Mesaiva.
What is Siba?
Cause and effect. We see birth, we see growth. You see, you plant, there's seeds and there's eggs. And we see a cause and effect relationship. It's a perpetual cause and effect relation. It means anything in this world must have come from something previous which preceded it, which came from something previous which preceded it. You keep going backwards. An honest look at the world is going to get us to look backwards. And things came from things that came from things that came from things that came from things. And only a fool would deny it. Yes, there's a lot of fools that deny this. But the Greeks were not fools. The Greeks believed that the world came from a Seba. The Seba doesn't relate to the world. The Seba doesn't care for the world. And the Seba doesn't have ruts in. Doesn't have a ruts and doesn't have a will, doesn't have a plan, doesn't have a desire, doesn't have a goal. There's a non-thinking cause for the world. That's their belief. And therefore we don't relate to it. So their belief system was to cause a departure between Shemayim v'Aretz, which is not Avodah Zarah.
Blasphemous stuff.
It's not Avodah Zarah. It's something new. We get this concept of Christianity. Christianity is a morphing of a lot of things. But Krishna took a man and made a man into God. That's not typical of Avodah Zarah. What?
He's also a spirit and a God.
It's very confusing. They don't know themselves. They have no idea. The wisdom to understand the reality that's beyond the world of nature. They can't understand it. They don't get it. There's no Torah by the Goyim. Malka v'Sarel, the king and the nobility, by Goyim amongst the non-Jewish nations, ain't Torah, there is no Torah. And Yemel Ha'adam Yesh Chachma B'Gayim Taimen. There's tremendous Chachma by the Gayim. Believe it. Hadod Echsir V'Avadati Chacham Me'edem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu foretells of the time when he will wipe out all wisdom in Edom. If Hashem is going to wipe out wisdom in Edom, that means that there was wisdom there. Because Hashem's not going to wipe out something that never existed to begin with. So the Pasuk says there was Chachma. Utfunim Haresav. Edom has Chachma. Haresav has Bina. But Torah, Yesh Torah B'Gayim Al Ta'amin. Tzumak V'Sarel B'Gayim. It's king, nobility among the Gayim. Ain't Torah, there's no Torah. So this we discussed the bracha. If somebody sees a chacham among the nations, Hashem nasan mechachmasai lebasa v'dam. That's the bracha that one makes upon seeing a Gentile scholar. Baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam, Hashem nasan mechachmasai lebasa v'dam. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave of his wisdom to basa v'dam, because the wisdom to understand the physical world also comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Even if the person's an awful person, you say the bracha?
What's the chachma? Are you making it if someone's a Russian or a tzeich, they have tremendous chachma? I don't know the halacha about that. I don't know the halacha.
It's not making a bracha on him. It's a bracha on
the Rebbeinu Shlomo. It's a bracha on the Rebbeinu Shlomo. When someone sees a chacham from Klal Yisrael, one also makes a bracha. Shechalak mechachmasa liriyav. So there's two shinuyim in the bracha. Instead of saying lashon nesina, it says lashon of chalak. And instead of saying the basa v'dam, it says the liriyav. So the basa v'dam is physical, and the liriyav is yirah shamayim. That's not a physical thing. That's Yira of Shemayim. Nasan is a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave wisdom, Hashem created a wisdom just to be able to understand this world. But that's not, one that learns it does not get closer to God. You learn the Chachma, how to understand this world, then you understand this world. That's it. And that's before you learned the Chachma, you didn't understand the world. And after the Chachma's learned, you do understand the world. But the relationship between man and God doesn't get changed in a kihuzel with this Chachma. Someone becomes an engineer, a physicist, a microbiologist. So he has tremendous Chachma. And he understands things that people don't understand. But he's not any closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu than he was before he started. Not a kihuzel. That's why I use the lashon nesina. Hashem made it; He gave it. But with Torah, somebody learns Torah. Someone really learns Torah. So then he's not going. You know, he will not. One who learns Torah emes will not emerge the same being after learning Torah than he was before learning Torah. If you learn Torah with Yirah Shamayim, so Chalak means, what does Chalak mean? You're a portion. That means you become part of a parcel. There's a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Kiviyachal, I mean, the Kadosh Baruch Hu himself says this, that we're like two Chalakim of one unity. He's one chelik, we're another chelik, and kiriyachol will mash from each other.
What's the pasuk? V'nasan chachma. V'nasan chachma.
The bracha.
Yeah.
Shenasan mechachmasay lebasa v'dam. One who learns Torah with Yira will not remain the same person. I have a friend who I haven't seen for a very long time. At one time he was the head of a Torah center in Buffalo, New York. The Buffalo Torah Center. Let's say about 30 years ago. There were two Rabbanim that together they ran the Buffalo Torah Center. One of them, he lives in Ramat Beit Shemesh now. His name is Rabbi Yaakov Haber. You know him.
My father's friend.
Rabbi Yaakov, he's a Talmud of Rav Scheinberg. One of the big Talmudim of Rav Scheinberg. And he lives now in Ramat Beit Shemesh. Now one time he was... He was the founder, and he ran the Buffalo Torah Center. He's originally from Buffalo. I think he got married in Buffalo. Rav Scheinberg came to Buffalo for his chasna. He had the Buffalo Torah Center, and his partner was a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Eliezer Moskowitz. And together they ran the Buffalo Torah Center. Eliezer
Moskowitz from Chicago?
No, Rabbi Eliezer Moskowitz is from Elizabeth, New Jersey. Originally. And Reb Lazer Moskowitz, he told me this story himself. They had success. They transformed Buffalo. They had success. The people, Mamash, they transformed their lives. And there was a single man. He was closely affiliated with the Reform congregation. And they were really such good friends with him. He'd come over, he'd spend Shabbos with them. He'd go back and forth, he'd be by them for Shabbos, he'd be Orthodox, he'd keep Shabbos. He loved the Chalot and the Kugel and the Kishkas and the songs and the stories. And then he'd disappear for a couple of weeks and he'd go back to his life as a free thinker. And it was like a constant tug and war, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And he just, he finally, the guy himself was cracking up. And he told his friend Lazer, he said, Lazer, I can't do this anymore. This tug of war, I can't do it anymore. And I like you very much. You're a good friend of mine. But I can't do it. I can't do Judaism your way. I can't do it. And I've decided. I'm going to go back to my old way. I'm not going to take these things on. They're not going to become part of my persona. They're going to become part of me, Orthodox Judaism. It's not for me. I can't do it. But I don't want to lose you as a friend. I don't want you to lose you. I want to keep you as a friend. And ladies, I'm going to ask you honestly, are you only friends with me because you wanted me to become an Orthodox Jew? Are you really my friend? And if I go back to the way I was before, and I stop keeping Shabbos, I stop keeping mitzvahs, I stop keeping all the things that you introduced me to, and I go back to the way I was before, will you still be my friend? It's the only reason why you're my friend because you wanted me to be just like you. A loaded question. The Lazer told him, he said, of course. No, he said, I'll be your friend. Whatever you do in life, I'll be your friend. We'll be friends. He said, but as a friend, seeing that we are friends, he said, before you go off to become a Russia,
you said that?
Yes. He's in Passaic, New Jersey. Before you go back to becoming Russia, I want you to do one more mitzvah as an Orthodox Jew. Just one more. And he said, Lazer, my friend, whatever it is, tell me, I'll do it. I'm there for you. We're going to be friends. It's going to be great. My friend had nothing in mind when he said it. He was just like desperate. He said, how could you let someone go? He's such a tyrant. He's so close. He's on the board. He's at the gateway. He's there. His foot is across the threshold. How do you let him go? He said, I asked him. I said, what did you have in mind? He said, I didn't have anything in mind. I just had to say something. He said, then I had to think of it. He said, what do you think I should ask him? He said, he thought I was going to tell him to put on tefillin one more time. We used to do that. Make a bracha, do something. He said, the only thing I could think of is that he was in the middle of learning a sugi in his basement. He had like a little study. He was learning about Metziah. And he was learning Daf Yudal and Aleph, I think. About Metziah. And that was the first thing he could think of. He said, come and learn the sugi with me. I don't have anyone. I'm learning by myself. Come down. I'll explain it to you. We'll learn together. He went downstairs. They learned for half an hour. And he said, ladies, just stop. He said, I give up. You win. I can't leave this. I can't give this up. He's talking about Reb Chaim. In Bar Mitzvah. He said, I can't leave this. He said, ladies, all the stories, and he sells good stories, and the singing is awesome, singing, and your logical arguments, and you know, it's just very compelling, and your warmth, and the whole Shabbos table, the whole experience. Nothing was as powerful as what you just did right now. This I can't leave. Asher chalak mechach masli reyav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't just create a chachma and then give it to us so we should learn it, and we have the chachma. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Torah, he's giving us himself. When we learn the Torah, we're learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, every word of Torah that we learn, we get closer to him. And when you get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could you leave him? The Chazal say, Halavai Oisi Ezava V'Tarasi Shamaru. Halavai means, were it only to be. Oisi Ezava, let them forsake me. Let them forsake God. Shem said, doesn't care. It's not a concern. Let them forsake God. The Tairasi Shamaru. But keep studying my Torah. Forsake me! Keep studying the Torah. Shema Ar Shabbat, because the light of Torah study, Yaksirei Lamutav, is going to bring him back to me. You can't forsake God and learn Torah at the same time. It's not possible. You learn Torah, you're not forsaking God. I mean, of course, there has to be a certain minimum of kavana, the taiva, when learning the Torah. Somebody is learning the Torah, I'm not lakanter because they're trying to find the Bible critics when they study Torah. That's not going to be maximum lamutav. Lakharinat.
Right, sometimes.
Yeah, even then it can be maximum lamutav. It's just, it's not likely. Halavai Yisi Azav V'Tarash HaShemara. It's a chaylik. And the problem with the Goyim are, the non-Jews, the Gentiles, they can't understand this. It's to them, it's Greek to them. Unintended. They don't have Alvana, it's all Greek. They try, they don't understand it. And if they do understand it, a guy that learns Torah is not the same as a Yid that learns Torah. A Yid that learns Torah changes him. A guy that learns Torah, he just gets smarter. That's all. Doesn't change him as a person. It's a very big difference. Look, I always had this kasha. Remember, we're in the parshas of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and one of the things we learn is the superiority of Yosef over Paro. That he was the Emes HaMelech, and Paro was just a figurehead. But look, the appearance of the world was the other way around. But the real kayak of Mitzrayim was Yosef. And Chazal gives us a couple glimpses into this, and they tell us that Paro made a deal with Yosef. He made Yosef make a shvua. Yosef said that Yosef is never going to reveal that he knows one more language than Paro does. Paro knew 70 languages. Yosef knew 71. There's a famous madrash that Paro used to sit on a throne. The throne took 70 levels to reach the throne. And Yosef entered the antechamber of Paro, and every language he knew, he advanced another step. 70 steps, 70 languages. Chazal said that Malach appeared to Yosef the night before. Pasuk says, "Fasla yadati yeshma." I didn't know any Safa. I didn't know any languages. But the night before, Malach appeared to him, told him about 70 languages. So he's going up, you know. Every single language, the power of Nohilu. You know, he keeps going till he gets to the top. And Pa says, you know as many languages as I do. And he says, no, I know one more. And the Lashon Kodesh. Okay, it's all over. Pa's not the Malach anymore.
Why do you believe in that it was a language?
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. And that's part of the kasha. He was so afraid that people are going to know the Yeshua knew one more language. You know, if you learn 70 languages, that means you're very good at languages. You're very adept at languages. I mean, if you would ask me, I would say that once you learn 70 languages, you can learn 71.
There wasn't any more languages, though.
There's the 70 and then there's Lashon Kodesh. So what's the big deal? Why is he so afraid that people are going to find he doesn't know? Take a Berlitz course. Listen to the, you know, just take a, I mean, they had, all right, so those days, it was Rosetta Stone, was it?
Opon.
Gonna,
that's
Ben
Yehuda.
Go learn it. What's the big deal? He learned 70 languages. What's the big deal? The Torah says, and Yoni's question is, how did he know it was a language in the first place? He understood what the words, meant. But to him, it was just meanings of words. He asked with Lashon Kodesh.
Wait, so Paro did know Lashon Kodesh, he just didn't...
He knew the way, he could have known what the words meant, but you can't tell him what a cow is in Hebrew, and he won't know what the word means. What's the pshat? It's not Lashon Kodesh. He didn't know Lashon Kodesh. You know what he knew? Hebrew. That means when Yosef spoke, his the words that came out of his mouth were expressed in Lashon Kodesh in the representation of his relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That only someone that has connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu could say such words. These are words of Kedusha, the words of holiness, the words of connection. But a Paro would say to be totally disconnected, like a parrot. Could you teach a parrot Hebrew? Could you teach him Lashon Kodesh? Absolutely not. You can't teach a parrot Lashon Kodesh. There's absolutely no Kedusha. If a parent makes a bracha, do you make an amen? Do you say amen to it? Why not?
He doesn't know what he's saying.
It's not a bracha, because it's not a bracha. It's not a bracha. You know why it's not a bracha? Because the site of a bracha is to be mamshik the bracha from El Yain to Tata, the Elamas El Yain to the Elamas Tachtain. When you make a bracha, you're being mechabi yourself to an existence that's higher than yourself, and you're acknowledging that the source of all blessing is from Lamala. And you're being mamshik dashbad lamata. When a parent makes a bracha, that's not what he's doing. You make an amen, you have a bracha from a tape recorder? Come on, there's no chibur lel yainim. The world remains the same. It's the same world before you press the button on the tape recorder and afterwards. After the bracha, the world hasn't changed a ki who's that. But when a Ben Yisrael makes a bracha, the world is not the same anymore.
What if you hear a bracha over the phone?
But Moshe Zichron Levracha Paschal, you say amen because he has a tzad that you're actually hearing the voice. The electronic impulses that carry the voice is the actual voice. So he said to be Yitzir, the mitzvah like Abdullah and Kiddush, he said the Chatkil and that. But amen, she'd say. But not from a tape recorder. The world is the same. It didn't change. The Gemara says that someone that's night on Me'elam Ezebeli Bracha. The Gemara in the six pack of Brachas. This guy's all the Knesset Yisrael. He's stealing from Knesset Yisrael. So people misunderstand the Gemara. I mean, there could be some Rishonim that explain it that way, that you're stealing because you didn't ask permission before you took the fruit. Make a bracha is like asking permission, and you ate without asking permission, you're mamsha gazel. Rashi learns you're being gazel knesio, because when you make a bracha, you're being mechaber this world to the olam that's above it, and then the Kodesh Baruch is mashpia and more hashpon to this world, and this world is more in his bark, it's more gebenched. And if you don't make a bracha, you don't make that connection, and then all the bracha doesn't come to the world. So you're stealing hashpa milamala from Knesset Yisrael because they're supposed to get it, because you didn't make a bracha, they're not getting it. So you're still in the hashpah that was supposed to come from making the bracha. Make a bracha, you use a kayach adibu with lashon kodesh, you're mechaber to olamis, and the world changes. It's no longer the same world as it was before the bracha. The oven can't have this. They're not capable of it. In order to be shayach, in order to be mechaber, the olam of gashmi with the olam of ruchni, so the one that's mechaber has to have inside of himself aspects of both. In Ma'aseh Bereishis, because Baruch Hu created Ma'aseh Bereishis, he made from Shemayim, he made from Oretz, he made from Shemayim, he made from Oretz. The first 5 days of creation was evenly distributed. Hashem made from Mikachavim, and Taitse Oretz, the Oretz came out and things. And on the sixth day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made man, the man is from Shemayim and from Oretz.
How could it be evenly distributed, man?
What?
Amongst 5 days.
What?
Is that even amongst 5 days?
It works out. The first day was Shemayim and Oretz. Then the second through the fifth day is one Shemayim, one Aretz, one Shemayim, one Aretz. Mm-hmm. Then the sixth day is also from Shemayim and Aretz. Mm-hmm. It's like a sandwich. Right. So it means Klal Yisrael's neshama is higher than the Malachim, and the Guf is a lot lower. The Guf is one of the lowest things. So you could be mechaber, because Baruch Hu made a person with elements, aspects of the highest aspects of creation. It's above the malachim, with the guf. So you could be mechaber shemayim v'aretz, because that's what a ben yisrael is. A ben yisrael is kibur shemayim v'aretz incarnate. But the neshama of a guy doesn't come from the same plane as the neshama. They have a neshama, and they're a person. They're people. But the neshama comes from a lower sheirush. The neshama is more shayach to the nefesh, the life force of an animal. It's beneath the chayas. You know, the kisei kavod, the way the seder yishtalshus is that you have the adam yeshiv al kisei, and then you have the malachim under the adam yeshiv al kisei. So with the malachim, the efanim and sarpim, the efanim and chayas akedish are under the adam. Adam Yeshiv Kisa represents the neshama of Klal Yisrael. And then you have the Malachim under, and then under, then you have the Nishmas, the neshamas of the ones that are not Mamin and Bateira. That's what the Chaim Velazhna calls them. The neshama of someone that's not Mamin Bateira, Cherish, is very low. They don't have their own life, they only get their life through Klal Yisrael. A Gentile, the one that will be truly considered alive, he has to be Mechaber himself to Klal Yisrael. He can't be mechaber himself straight to Kodesh Baruch. He doesn't have direct access. His neshama doesn't have that direct connection. He's mechaber himself to Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael is mechaber to Kodesh Baruch. So he can be mechaber to Kodesh Baruch. That's if he's not Megayah. If he wants to have a direct relation with the Kodesh Baruch, he has to be Megayah. And then he's mechaber to Avraham Avinu, who's Allah Kisei. He's mechaber himself to the Kisei. But if he's not, he's also a very, very good person, and you can have a chiluk olam haba, but he does not have a direct chibur to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he cannot be mechaber olamos. So he doesn't understand the Torah. His neshama is just not equipped to understand things. The lamal midrach hateva. The ikar of him is his chiluk hateva. He only has we spoke about this before.
What aspect does he need to understand? It's the same information.
To understand something that you can't comprehend in human terms. To understand the impossible. The Greek philosophers, the great Greek philosophers, said, "Was ich verstehe nicht, is nicht."
In Yiddish?
A new language.
Wisdom.
What I don't understand, it doesn't exist. What does that mean? Geiver. But it's also a fairy tale statement. What I don't understand doesn't exist because it can't exist. If I admit that it exists, that means it's something that I can't have. And I can't admit that. L'chein, l'kach, ha-malkos, ha-me-yivanim, le-yimizdag, mi-shokim, b'tayrasam. They were able to tolerate anything in Klal Yisrael. It didn't bother them that there was Jewish rye and Jewish pickles. It didn't bother them. They were misnagged to Klal Yisrael in one area, Torah, because they can't have it. If they can't have it, they can't admit it even exists. That's why they're a leopard. Kizais, Achaya, the Asbiyas. Leopards are brazen. They're brazen. You know, if they're coming, if they're slithering into your camp to get something, and you jump up with a stick and try and scare them away, they will ignore you. Yeah. As they say in Yiddish, yeah, leopards also know Yiddish. Get minched on. Yeah, don't really care.
Universal language.
Just get rid of Stan. Yeah. They're brazen. Kamesha Amro, how do you ask a Nama? You're supposed to be brazen like a Nama. It depends on what you're trying to do. If you're doing the right thing and people want to stop you, you're supposed to be brazen like a Nama. You totally ignore them. Okay. Brazenness is a prerequisite to acquire Chachma. Kamesha Amrizal Vleya Baishan Limit. A bashful person won't learn anything. Lachak Midas Yisrael HaAzus. The Mid of Azus is identified with Klal Yisrael. Kamesha Nermesekos Beita. Tanamish Medra Meiv Neimanit Natayli Yisrael. Why was it so important that Klal Yisrael should get the Torah over any other nation? The nation Azin, because they're brazen. That means that they're so brazen. They're such Azis. So one of the palliators of Azis is you don't accept anything, any sovereignty on top of you. So but you don't allow anything to be over you. It's very dangerous. A human being without control over him, without some form of control, is a very destructive force.
We're stiff-necked people.
Stiff-necked. Tanavir bishmal mina ishtas lamai. Time is fire. Amar kadosh baruch hu. Ru'yin alala shetinas lam dash eis. They have to have time, which is fire. Yigid yami dasem shaleilu eish. The laws of these is fire. Shemalin and nit the Torah to Yisrael. If Hashem would not have given the Torah to Klal Yisrael, what would the world look like with a Klal Yisrael without any Torah? And Kaluma v'lashin yichayim l'abivneim. They wouldn't be able to stand up. There wouldn't be a single nation that could stand up to them. They're so powerful. They're so strong.
Yeah.
Yes. The only reason why we demonstrate any signs of weakness is because Hashem gave us the Torah. And we learned the Torah, and it's very difficult to stay that way. To be someone that nothing can make an impact on after you learn Torah, it's very difficult to remain that way. Torah manages to make an impact. Rabbi Kiva, what's the mashal of Rabbi Kiva? The water. You know? That's mamash this word. Torah could drill a hole, like water, your water could drill a hole in a stone. Once the hole's made in the stone, so then you're no longer Az anymore. Az just means that nothing can make an impact on you. Torah does. So when someone has a meet of Azus, and the Azus means that nothing can make an impact on this nation, and the Torah manages to do it anyway, and the nation has changed. The nation that's impossible to make an impact has just had an impact made on them. So that saves the world. It's a humbling experience, let's put it that way. To be so impervious to change And then along comes the Torah and manages to make an inroad. It makes the world safe from Klal Yisrael. There's three entities in this world. There's the meat of brazenness, Yisrael ba'umais, Pirish Rishul. One of them is Klal Yisrael among the nations, Pirish Rishul. She yeshta matay b'shul. Zed the same shleilu v'esh. She esh yeshta atayke v'az. Lokak shalom azna shu ba'umais. Okay, so you know, the Ivanim could not accept, they couldn't live with Klal Yisrael having this. They cannot tolerate Klal Yisrael having the Torah. Klal Yisrael has the Torah, so the Klal Yisrael represents the highest point in creation. Klal Yisrael represents imperviousness. Klal Yisrael represents that they're so sure that they understand. If you're so sure that you understand things better than everyone else, then nobody can make, you know, no one can make an impression on you.
So why does that affect Yavan so much more than anybody else?
Because Yavan has to be at the top. Then that means that their Chachma has to be the top. And any other Chachma that's higher than theirs, they have to either get it for themselves or make sure that there's no presence of it in this world. If they eliminate it from Klal Yisrael, so then the Torah doesn't enter this world. If it doesn't enter this world, so then they have the maximum chachma in this world. Because if Jews don't learn Torah, so the Ivanim are not missing anything because they don't learn Torah. Mm-hmm. We're not learning Torah because it doesn't come into this world. We don't learn things that are not in this world. But if Klal Yisrael learns Torah, then it is in this world. So Klal Yisrael is doing the end all. They're taking something from not in this world, they're bringing it to this world, and they're learning it. So the Ivanim also have to have it, and they can't. So if Klal Yisrael doesn't learn Torah, then Torah stays. Yeah, they believe in Torah. It should say in Shemayim. Only the Rabbeinu Shalom. Yeah, well, the Sherish of all of Eris is Gaiva, if that's what you mean.
No, it's like, I'll be better because I'm pushing somebody else down.
Yeah, but it's real, though. It's mamish real. If they would have been Matzliach and banishing Torah from Klal Yisrael, they're being Matzliach and sending the Torah in Shemayim.
In what?
If they're Matzliach and making inroads in Klal Yisrael, then Klal Yisrael shouldn't want to learn the Torah? That's what they're trying to do.
Well, they're pretty much
they wanted to. Yeah, they were the first ones in the history of mankind to have people from Klal Yisrael come over to their sides. The Hellenists, the Jewish Hellenists. They're the first ones to have them come over to their sides. Until then, they were always the Jewish Avod Avodah Zarah, but they had a taiva to be Avod Avodah Zarah. They were doing it because of taiva. The Hellenists, they had Hellenists. They came over, they eradicated the Jewish identity, and they came over to the sides of the Ivanim. It was unprecedented. If there's no Kaili for the Torah in this world, then Torah is not in this world. If it's not in this world, so what's the highest level that one can attain in this world? That's Menschlich HaChachma. And they have it more than anyone else.
But there's no world.
That was their mistake. Just the big Rishayim always make that mistake. That they look, they say that they can only have any meaning, any meaningful existence if they get rid of the Jews or the Torah. And they just don't realize if you do that, that's a self-destruct button. You enjoy it while you can, because as soon as there's a night Torah here, the world is going to cease to exist. They don't hop. That's the big ties of the big Rishayim, is that they think that the Rabbi Hashem will allow a world to exist connected with Tzayne. Yeah.